Our gospel lesson text this morning is from 2 Chronicles chapter 35. We'll begin in verse 7 this morning. I'll give you a moment to find that. If you're using the Bibles in your seats there, that's page 332. If you're using a Bible that you've brought from home, if you go to the Psalms and go back leftward a few books, you'll find that shortly. Second Chronicles chapter 35, beginning in verse 7. This is God's word, eternally true. Josiah provided for all the lay people who were there a total of 30,000 sheep and goats for the Passover offerings, and also 3,000 cattle, all from the king's own possessions. His officials also contributed voluntarily to the people and the priests and Levites. Hilkiah, Zechariah, and Jehiel, the administrators of God's temple, gave the priests 2,600 Passover offerings and 300 cattle. Also, Conaniah, along with Shemaiah and Nathanael, his brothers, and Hashabiah, Jeiel, and Jozabad, the leaders of the Levites, provided 5,000 Passover offerings and 500 head of cattle for the Levites. The service was arranged, and the priests stood in their places with the Levites in their divisions, as the king had ordered. The Passover lambs were slaughtered, and the priests sprinkled the blood handed to them, while the Levites skinned the animals. They set aside the burnt offerings to give them to the subdivisions of the families of the people to offer to the Lord, as is written in the book of Moses. They did the same with the cattle. They roasted the Passover animals over the fire as prescribed, and boiled the holy offerings in pots, cauldrons, and pans, and served them quickly to all the people. After this, they made preparations for themselves and for the priests, because the priests, the descendants of Aaron, were sacrificing the burnt offerings and the fat portions until nightfall. So the Levites made preparations for themselves and for their Aaronic priests. The musicians, the descendants of Asaph, were in the places prescribed by David, Asaph, Heman, and Jeduthun, the king's seer. The gatekeepers at each gate did not need to leave their posts because their fellow Levites made the preparations for them. So at that time, the entire service of the Lord was carried out for the celebration of the Passover and the offering of burnt offerings on the altar of the Lord, as King Josiah had ordered. The Israelites who were present celebrated the Passover at that time and observed the feast of unleavened bread for 7 days. The Passover had not been observed like this in Israel since the days of the prophet Samuel, and none of the kings of Israel had ever celebrated such a Passover as did Josiah with the priests, the Levites, and all Judah and Israel who were there with the people of Jerusalem. This Passover was celebrated in the 18th year of Josiah's reign. Here ends our reading. We have in our bulletin a response of thankfulness, expressing our thankfulness to God for giving us this His word. Let us respond. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we are grateful to You for giving us this Your word, for it reveals what You're like, and it reveals Your good news, the gospel, to us. Grant us insight and understanding by the work of Your Spirit and Your word here, that we might see You more clearly and become more like You. Indeed, Spirit of God, grant to us willing hearts, receptive minds, that we might hear Your word and follow You. Jesus, preach to us by this Your word, and by Your Spirit, make it effective unto us. We ask, Jesus, in Your name. Amen. It's interesting, if you've been, we have amongst us a number of school teachers and administrators, and all of us have been around other people and can gauge their level of interest in various things with school and such, and sometimes you get surprised by somebody. Maybe you know them in a certain context. Maybe they were somebody in your English class, for instance, and they didn't care a lick about English, and so they were bored and getting in trouble, that kind of thing. But then you get them out in another class or perhaps in the athletic field, and they've got great enthusiasm, and you see this whole side of them that you haven't seen before because this new spirit or this enthusiasm has overtaken them because of their interest in this new subject or this new thing. That's what we're seeing here in this passage as we look at Josiah, the king of Israel, the son of David, and as we look at God's people as they celebrate the Passover. They had previously not seen their need for it, and God's people had been lazy or lapsed in their interest in celebrating the Passover, even though it was something they were supposed to celebrate each year. But we see that they get a hold of this, and they recognize their need for Passover, their need to celebrate Passover, for it would bring them to remembrance of what God himself had done for them. As we start out here in our gospel lesson, you see that there's an outline in your bulletin, and if you'd like to fill in blanks, you're welcome to do so. If you want to just listen, that's fine. That's fine too. But as we look here in this passage, the first thing that we remind ourselves of is this, that Passover, or the gospel, is what we need. That's your blank there. The gospel, or the Passover, is what we need. Indeed, the Passover is a precursor or a foreshadowing of what Jesus would accomplish in the gospel. And as we look at the Passover and understand its meaning, both with Moses and with these people here under Josiah, we see that this meaning is the same meaning of the gospel itself. But this passage, even though written long ago, has great meaning for us because of this. That is, as I've mentioned, that God's people under Josiah had been in a place in their lives where they hadn't recognized their need for God's work on their behalf. And that's what the Passover was about. It was a reminder every year to God's people of how much he had done for them and how he continued to be their protector, forgiving God. So we all have some extent to which we're like the people in this chapter. Maybe you're here this morning and you're just at the place right now in your own life where you're starting to realize, you know, I have need for God in my life. Maybe I have need right now for this gospel or this good news. I need to understand what that means. Maybe there's something there that I need that's more than I've recognized that I've needed in the past. Maybe you're here this morning and you're here every week and you've been here in a church every week for the last 5, 10, 50 years of your life. But this passage is still a reminder to you, if that is the case for you, the Passover was celebrated every year. And what God communicates in that, in this requirement of his people that they celebrate the Passover every year, was this, that in our souls, we are in need of reminder, time after time, of what God does for his people. And so that's what we speak about here this morning. The Passover, the gospel, we need to think over this over and over that God accomplishes much for his people. God rescues his people by a Passover lamb. So we say this, in believing the gospel, like the Passover in Egypt, one, here are the things that you need. A, in believing the gospel, one escapes from death. That's your first blank there. And Carl read for us this morning from Romans 6, that last verse that he read there for us from Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. That is, what a person earns for himself his wages, what a person earns for himself for his sin is death. Now, God has created us. He causes us to breathe every breath, and he keeps our heart beating one more beat, every beat along the way throughout our whole lives. We owe him everything, and we have not given him everything. And it's right that what comes upon us is death for our sin. But this was the case in another way back in Egypt under Moses. You know, the first Passover was a literal Passover. It was the 10th plague that Moses was the instrument by which God brought this on Egypt. The 10th plague, God was going to come and he was going to put to death the firstborn in every house in Egypt, unless that house had lamb's blood painted over its door and along the sides of the main door going into the house. And God said, if I see lamb's blood on the door of a house, I will pass over that house and will not bring death into that family. That's the Passover. God's people, when they celebrated the Passover, like under Josiah, were reminding themselves that God rescued them from death in Egypt. Now, today in the gospel, the message is the same, except we remove the Egypt part, don't we? The gospel is the message of Passover. That is, that by the blood of Christ, figuratively, spread upon the doorposts and over the lintel, the top part of our lives. As we have believed in Jesus, his blood has been sprinkled upon us. And it covers our sins. And this, the blood of Jesus, rescues us from eternal death. And so everybody, us and everybody who's ever lived having sinned, we need rescue from death. And that's what the gospel is good news about. That the gospel brings rescue from death. So we need the gospel. We need the Passover. B, in believing the gospel, one also escapes from judgment. This was the case in Egypt. God said he would send his 10th plague, this plague of death, onto Egypt as judgment. Judgment upon Egypt and upon the gods of Egypt. And as we read this morning and referenced already, that the wages of sin is death. The judgment, the sentence given for sin is death. And Jesus spoke of this sentence of death in many, many places in the Gospels, the four Gospels that we have in the New Testament. One of those places I've referenced for you here, in Matthew 11:22, where Jesus speaks of judgment coming to those who have not believed in him, the Son of God. And so everybody not only has death into a nothingness or death into a ceasing of existence, but Jesus himself speaks of death going into a judgment where there's a sentence of eternal death and eternal punishment, eternal judgment going upon a person. This is what Jesus taught. But Jesus also taught this good news that his Passover death caused his people, trusting in his blood, to be shed upon a cross, that death would not come to their house, to their life, so to speak. And so one who believes in Jesus has Jesus' blood cover him like the blood of the Lamb covered those houses in Egypt long ago. And that's something that all of us, that each person needs. Escape from death. Escape from the judgment that follows it. Third thing that comes with believing the gospel. In believing the gospel, one escapes from hell. And we see in Egypt, the case was that Egypt was a hell of a sorts for God's people. They were in slavery there. They were under a king, a master, who didn't care if they died in the midst of their labors for him. He wasn't paying them to work for him. wasn't treating them well. And God's people in the Passover, in this 10th plague, got escape from the land of Egypt. They got escape from the kingdom of Egypt. They got escape from the kingdom of this evil king who sought to do them harm, who had enslaved them, who caused them to work in hard labor. But Colossians 1:13, which we read this morning in our declaration of the gospel, it's the second sentence there, says that in the gospel this has happened. He, God, has rescued us from the dominion of darkness, the kingdom of the evil one, and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. You see how this is a reliving of the Exodus experience. That is, God's people were released from the kingdom of the evil king Pharaoh and brought into the kingdom of God in the promised land. Released from an evil king, an evil kingdom, and brought into the kingdom led by God's beloved son, David and his sons, and eventually now for us in the gospel, Jesus. And that's what God accomplishes for us in the gospel message. When we believe the good news, when we believe on Jesus, what is happening is this transfer of kingdom citizenship. We are transferred from the dominion of darkness, from being a citizen of that kingdom, from having Satan as our master. He who doesn't care about us, who would have us go into eternal condemnation and eternal punishment and enjoy that being the case. We transfer out of that kingdom and we enter into the kingdom of the Son God the Father loves, the kingdom of Jesus. So we need Jesus, our Passover, to escape from hell. Then D, when we believe the gospel, one escapes from the dominating power of his sin nature. That's your blank sin there. Romans 6 that Carl read for us this morning tells us that every person who has not yet believed in Christ is dominated in his life or slave in his life to his own sin nature. Our selfishness, our desire to do what just serves us. And that gets us in a whole mess of trouble. And what the Bible tells us is that when we come to faith in Christ, when we believe on this gospel, when we believe in our need for this Passover in Jesus, that we are freed from the domination of our sin nature in our life. We still sin. We still fall to sin, but we're not dominated by it. And God tells us no temptation overtakes us, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful. He provides the way of escape also, that we might endure and do the right thing in the midst of temptation. He tells us that in 1 Corinthians 10:13. God frees us from our slavery to sin in the gospel. So we need the gospel. And then lastly, your E point there. In believing the gospel, one is cleansed. One is cleansed by God of his corruption. God's people were dirty when they came out of Egypt. Maybe even literally so. Maybe they had mud on their legs and under their toenails from stomping in the mud pits. If they were anything like Charlton Heston in that movie. When he comes in, he's got the mud all over him, and God's people have the mud all over them from stomping out those bricks there. But also, figuratively, in the spiritual sense, they were dirty. They were coming out from this kingdom of this pagan king, Pharaoh. And 1 Corinthians 10 says, the Red Sea wasn't just a way to make a separation between my people and the people of Egypt. It wasn't just a way to once and for all eliminate the possibility of Egypt being able to take God's people back into slavery by wiping out their army in the Red Sea. 1 Corinthians 10 that Carl read for us this morning said that that was a baptism. That was a baptism of God's people. It was God cleansing his people through the water of the Red Sea that they might be clean before him. And that's what happens in the gospel. When one comes to believe in the gospel, when one comes to believe in the Passover lamb, they're cleansed of their sins. God washes us clean. And we all need that as well. So, Passover, the gospel, is what we need for all these reasons. So, what should be our reaction to this? What should be our thinking and our actions on the Passover gospel of Jesus? Well, this gets back to the point that we started with enthusiasm. Ever been around somebody, and if you're one of them, don't take offense. Ever been around somebody who's enthusiastic about everything? I've had to talk to somebody on the phone a few times and interact with somebody on the phone a few times and with something we've dealt with the building. It's not someone in our congregation, and she is always, well, okay, well, that's great. Okay, talk to you later. Thanks for calling. Like we're talking about, I won't tell you what it is so that you won't know, it's none of you will know what it is. But man, it wears me out. And you don't have to be enthusiastic about everything. God's wired us, most of us at least, not to be enthusiastic about everything. But he clearly communicates in this passage where to be enthusiastic about at least one thing. And that's this. Your point number one. Be enthusiastic about the gospel. Be enthusiastic about the gospel, the Passover. We see it here in verses 7 and 8. All these gifts that are given by Josiah the king and by the priests and Levites, all these gifts that are given, people are enthusiastic about this. They haven't celebrated the Passover in a couple of generations. And this is the first Passover that any of these people in their lives have celebrated. And they are reminding themselves of how God takes care of all their needs. He gives them escape from death. He gives them escape from judgment. He gives them escape from hell. He gives them escape from the dominating power of the sin nature in their lives. And he cleanses them. This is what they were celebrating. And this is about what they were being enthusiastic. And God says to us in this passage, this is the way we should be when we think about the gospel. Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. That's going to be your theme verse on our last song that we sing together on the title page of that song. Christ, 1 Corinthians 5:7, is our Passover. And God says to us in this passage, this is the kind of enthusiasm that we are to have about Christ, our Passover. This is the kind of enthusiasm we're to have about the gospel. Josiah is so enthusiastic about the gospel. I mean, how many? 3,000 cattle, 30,000 sheep and goats for the Passover offerings out of his own possessions. I think he's enthusiastic about this, isn't he? Providing all these sheep and goats. It's so much that the priests and the Levites who are serving have to have other people bring the Passover to them. Because they're serving and serving and serving. And so somebody else has to take care of their own lamb sacrifice for them so that they can join in the celebration. You know, it's like the guy who works at the concession stand through lunch at the football game. You know, he needs somebody to get some lunch for him so he can eat as he has time. But there's great enthusiasm about the gospel. And here's what we say. We talked about this before. Jesus is the Son of David. He's called that in the four Gospels, Son of David. And that was a title of king. It meant he was the son of King David. And he was a rightful king over God's people. Just like Josiah. Josiah was a son of David. Manasseh before Ammon before sons of David. Jesus shows us beyond Josiah enthusiasm. Jesus is enthusiastic about the gospel, about his Passover sacrifice that he was going to make. He was more enthusiastic than Josiah. Josiah gave all these things out of his possessions, but Jesus literally gives his life. And that's a blank for you somewhere there. That Jesus is so enthusiastic about the Passover that he gives his life, literally, for the gospel. He hands over his breath and his heartbeat for the gospel. Our King, the Son of David, is like Josiah to an exponential degree. The gospel is so important that he gives his life. Jesus is so enthusiastic about what it is he is going to achieve for us, his people, in this Passover sacrifice of him, himself, being the Lamb of God and dying as a Passover sacrifice on a cross, that he goes there anyway. Hebrews 2, a passage I love, it says Jesus despised the shame of the cross. But for the joy set before him, he went to it. That's this Passover enthusiasm. So we as people, as followers of Jesus, we're to follow Jesus like the people in Josiah, they followed Josiah. See how they in turn become enthusiastic about the gospel, that God takes care of his people. He cleanses them from their sins. He gives them escape from judgment and death. We're to be like the people in this passage and be all about the gospel. Down at, here's your blank, down at the soul level, rejoicing in it, in your heart, and in your mind. We see in verse 18, it says this, "The Passover had not been observed like this in Israel since the days of the prophet Samuel." That was pre-David. That was about 400 years, 450 years prior to this. This is a big Passover celebration. And we are, at our soul level, to be excited about the gospel, to rejoice about the gospel, because this is God showing us he loves us. This is God showing us that he cares for us. But not only this, not only is God showing us he loves us and cares for us, God is accomplishing it. And at no small cost to himself. God himself cares about the gospel so much that he sends his son to be abused, mocked, scorned, and shamed. That's how enthusiastic God the Father is about the gospel. And Jesus actually does it. He becomes this Lamb of God. And so that his blood can be put on the doorposts of our house, so that we can experience the benefits of Passover, so that we can escape the 10th plague that was hanging over our lives. So, we are to be all about the gospel, down at the soul level, rejoicing over the gospel in our hearts. When we think about the gospel, when we think about the church, it's not just to be a surfacey thing. It's not just to be a dry ritual that we go through, but it's to be something that affects us in our hearts and in our souls. So one, be enthusiastic about the gospel. And two, God says to us this morning through this passage, be generous so that the gospel, the Passover, can be big. And we see this in verses 7 through 9 in this passage. Josiah and name the people. They keep all these people, keep giving and giving and giving, so that the Passover can be big. And you see that the Passover celebration goes beyond Judah, the group of people over whom the son of David, Josiah, was king, but also those in the northern regions in Israel are invited down. Those were two distinct areas. Judah was in the south and Israel was in the north. And God's people want the Passover to be big, and so they bring in all these people from Israel as well. They're interested in as many people celebrating the Passover as will come. So we're to be generous so that the gospel, the Passover, can be big. And we see again as our example in verse 7 here that Josiah gives all these things for the Passover. But we remind ourselves that Josiah is the son of David, and that the true, final, ultimate son of David, Jesus, gives something else. And that is, here's your blank, Jesus gives his life for the gospel. it's right for us to give for the gospel's advancement. Jesus gave his whole life so the gospel could advance, so that people could come to believe in him and have their sins forgiven, so that people could have eternal life, so that people could die and go to heaven and be with God forever in his blessing. Jesus wanted a big celebration of the gospel. And he didn't just limit it to the Jews of his day, his own people, but he tells his followers, John 10, I have sheep that are not of this fold. I have those that I will bring to the Passover celebration who are beyond the Jewish people living here in Israel. And so he tells his disciples after his resurrection in the Great Commission, go and preach the gospel to all nations. Make disciples of all nations. Make the Passover celebration big. Invite everybody. So Jesus gives his life so that people might be forgiven, so that people might have eternal life. The question is for us, to what do we give and how? The Passover today is made big by, here's your blank, the Passover today is made big by the spreading of the gospel. Matthew 28, you realize that the Great Commission, the command of Jesus to make disciples of all nations, to proclaim the gospel to all, that's us making the Passover celebration big. It's us including people in the blood of the Lamb, Jesus, so that they can escape death and judgment, so that they can escape having their own sin nature be the dominating force in their lives as slaves to sin. And so the Passover today is made big by the spreading of the gospel, and we make the spreading of the gospel big by a couple of ways that are spoken of here and one other that we won't talk about right now. You can ask me about it later if you want to. But the two that are dealt with in this passage is this. We make the spreading of the gospel big by being generous with our abilities. Being generous with our abilities. The priests and the Levites here, you see, Josiah, whatever their ability is, they go and they perform this, almost to the point of exhaustion, probably. We see that they have to be fed the Passover meal because they're using their abilities, using their roles, using their place in life so that the Passover celebration can be big, so that lots of people can celebrate this and rejoice in God. And for us today, God has given each of you abilities. Some natural abilities, some spiritual abilities. And this is a call to you as you make your abilities available to the church. And do what you're able to do. We're having an informational time about the church this Sunday and next Sunday at 3 o'clock. And I don't have great abilities when it comes to desserts, except for eating them. I have great ability to eat desserts, but not to make. And so, I've asked some of you, who can make some desserts? And so some of you have stepped forward with that. Those kind of things help the Passover celebration, the kingdom of God, grow. Helps people come in. But whatever your abilities are, God is saying to you this morning and to me, use your abilities for his kingdom's sake, for the sake of the Passover, that might be big so that Jesus might be honored and glorified and that people might experience the benefits of the Passover that Jesus accomplished for us. So be generous with your abilities. And then the second thing, be generous financially. And we see this with Josiah here and the Levites and priests. They give of their own stuff, of their own possessions, so that this Passover celebration might be big. And this gives meaning to when we give in the church, we're not just giving for lights and it ends there. We're giving, and part of what we give pays the light bill. Part of what we give pays the light bill. But why are we paying the light bill? We're paying the light bill so that people can hear the gospel. So that more people can experience the blood of Jesus covering their sins. So that their sins are forgiven. So they pass from death unto life. so they can pass from judgment and condemnation to the blessing of God. This is why we give. This is why Josiah gave. He gave all these lambs so people could experience the joy of what God does for his people. And so we give, and we're generous financially as well, so that other people can experience the Passover meal of Jesus. I skipped that, and that reminds me, I skipped a line right above your point one. What we have right in front of me here is the succession of the Passover meal. Jesus celebrated the Passover meal, and he redefined it, or he gave it its final ultimate meaning. And he said to his disciples, in essence, this Lord's Supper here, now let me fill your blank out for you here. The Lord's Supper is a reminder to us of the Passover nature of the gospel. Gospel's your blank there. Jesus sat with his disciples at the Last Supper, which was a Passover celebration, and he says that this lamb and the blood of the lamb and this broken bread and this spilling of this wine is fulfilled in me. This is the new covenant in my blood, he says to his disciples. And so when we celebrate the Lord's Supper here, we're reminding ourselves of how we need Jesus. We're reminding us of what Jesus has accomplished for us. And we want those, not just ourselves, but those we know in our workplaces, in our neighborhoods, in our families, among our relatives, our friends, our classmates. We want them to be included in the blessing that God has for all his people in the Passover meal, in the gospel. So, make the gospel big by being generous. Be generous with your abilities. Be generous with your finances so that the gospel can be big, so that more and more people can come to believe and experience God's blessing. And then lastly, he who freely gives, look at verse 7, which is about the Son of David, giving freely. He who freely gives is like Jesus. This is us living out the gospel. Jesus said, the gospel is so important, I'll give my life for it. And we are to say the same thing. The gospel is so important, we'll give our time, our abilities, our money. We don't live in a country where many of us will give literally our lives for it, but some Christians in other nations do. If we were ever called to that, we should do it. But God says to us, everybody needs the gospel. Give of yourself in whatever way that you're able to give, so that the celebration of God's grace to his people in the gospel might be big. Let's pray. Father, you've done much for us. You've given us in Jesus and his gospel escape from death, escape from judgment, escape from hell, escape from our sin natures dominating our lives here. And you have in your gospel cleansed us from our corruption, cleansed us from our sins. And for this we are grateful. Lord, help us in light of this to be like Josiah and the people here, to be enthusiastic about what you have accomplished for us in Jesus and his gospel. Help us now to fix our eyes and hearts upon this truth as well, as we celebrate this gospel in your supper. Amen.